Dear friends, I hope that this message finds you well. Tonight and tomorrow, we have the incredible privilege to celebrate Yom Yerushalayim, the day in which we celebrate the great miracle of the reunification of the city of Yerushalayim, that once again, our eternal capital came under Jewish sovereignty just a few short years ago. But wherein lies the secret of this city? What is the source of the holiness of Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh? Some things in life, even if you can't define them, you know that they exist. So any Jew, any person who's ever had the privilege to walk on the holy stones of Yerushalayim knows that when you walk there, you just feel different. There are so many holy places in this world, and so many magnificent places, and so many beautiful Jewish communities. But the feeling you feel when you walk in Yerushalayim is an indescribable feeling. A feeling of closeness, a feeling of connection, a feeling of kedusha, a feeling of love. I feel blanketed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I feel blanketed by Klal Yisrael. Even when I stand and I look at the Kotel, I look at the ruins, the last vestige, the last retaining wall of our beautiful Beis HaMikdash. And I know that in my heart, it's supposed to elicit feelings of sadness, right? Because I know when I look at the Kotel, when I look at that last little bit of wall, I'm supposed to feel, oh, look at everything I've lost. But I'll share with you a secret. When I look at the Kotel, I'm overwhelmed with happiness, overwhelmed with joy, not because I don't understand that it's a remnant of the Second Temple, but I get to say to myself, I get to daven next to a remnant of the second Beis HaMikdash. I can place my hands on the beautiful, cool stones. I can bury my head with prayer in that magnificent wall. I know what it represents. I know that it represents Churban, that it represents destruction, but I also know that it represents Geula. That in its own way, those stones which represent that which was destroyed are also the foundation for that which will be rebuilt. So we all know of the Kiddush of Yerushalayim, we all know what it means. But on a deeper level, what does it stem from? I think it's interesting to note that in Daf Yomi just a few days ago, at the conclusion of Maseches Sota, the Gemara was talking about the concept of Egla Arufa, literally translated the decapitated calf, without getting into all the details. We know the basic framework. You find the person murdered between two cities, they measure the closest city, and there's a whole process that's involved, right? There's a calf, the elders come, a whole ritual process surrounding how to atone for that bloodshed. The perpetrator is unknown, but we, the elders of the closest city, still have an obligation to effect atonement. So the Mishnah on Memhem Beis 45b says that when it comes to Egla Arufa, the Mishnah says, the Ein Yerushalayim Mevia Egla Arufa. Ultimately, the city of Jerusalem does not bring in Egla Arufa. In other words, what does this mean? So if you happen to find a person murdered and the closest city to the corpse is Jerusalem, is Yerushalayim, you don't engage in the process of Egla Arufa. Why not, says the Gemara. So listen to this. Very simple. The Amar Kra, Lirishta, Vekasav Yerushalayim Lo Nitzchak L'Shvatim. Because the Torah, when describing ultimately the closest city found to the corpse, describes it as one of the cities that it was given to you as an inheritance. But Yerushalayim was not divided amongst the tribes. Yerushalayim belongs to everyone. So again, the Pasuk says, Lirishta, when you will find a person murdered next to one of the cities that I've given you to inherit, then you engage in the process of Egla Arufa. But Yerushalayim doesn't satisfy the halachic criteria of Lirishta. It's not inherited. Why? Because inherited means it's owned by someone. Yerushalayim known as Chalko L'Shvatim. City of Jerusalem was not divided amongst the tribes. And if it wasn't divided amongst the tribes, therefore, again, it's not part of the tribal area of any one tribe, which means it belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. You know, in general, when we say that something belongs to everyone, usually it means it belongs to no one, right? The Gemara has an expression of kedera debe shutfi, right? If you have a pot of food that is managed or that is owned by two partners. So the Gemara says, lo kariri velo chamimi. Generally, it doesn't get very hot and it doesn't get cold. Meaning what? Never really heats up and never fully cools down. What is that dynamic? When you have two people who are both responsible for something, generally everybody assumes, Reuven says, Shimon will take care of it. And Shimon says, Reuven will take care of it. So who ends up owning it or who ends up taking ownership over it? No one. So like the pot's never really hot and the pot's never really cold. As they say, it's nishtahin, nishtaher. It's not here, it's not there. It's kind of just hovering. V'yet Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, the Gemara says, belongs to no one, but it belongs to everyone. Belongs to no one, but it belongs to everyone. No one tribe, even though, again, the tribal portions of Yehuda and Binyamin, right, are in that vicinity, but Yerushalayim is not owned by any one tribe, it's owned by everyone. And maybe herein lies the unique nature of Yerushalayim, that there are certain things that can never be possessed by any one person, by any one tribe. There are certain things that have such immense holiness that by definition, they could only belong to a greater collective. An example of this Torah, our beautiful, holy, magnificent Torah. Who does Torah belong to? Torah belongs to Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars. No, it doesn't. The truth is Torah belongs as much to the Am Haaretz as it does to Talmid Chacham. It belongs as much to the ignoramus as much as it does to the greatest of scholars. I own Torah as much as Moshe Rabbeinu owned Torah. The difference between me and Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu accessed it. I don't access it as much, but we both have the same level of ownership. It's owned by no one, so therefore it's owned by everyone. And Yerushalayim is the same way. Yerushalayim is a city which sits on the very reservoir of universal Kedusha. Chazal tell us that all bracha that comes to the world comes from Eretz Yisrael. And all bracha from Eretz Yisrael comes from Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, like Torah, is such a profound repository of holiness. Lo nischalka l'shevatim, can't be owned by a tribe, can't be owned by a group. No one person, no one group to lay claim to it. There's so much holiness there, so much holiness, that it has to belong to the klal. It has to belong to everyone. You know, when we say that Yerushalayim is the eternal capital of the Jewish people, this isn't just a political statement that dictates, you know, where other countries should put their embassies. It's a spiritual statement. Yerushalayim is not the capital of a tribal area. Yerushalayim doesn't belong to Haredim or to Chilonim. It doesn't belong to Mizrahi. It doesn't belong to Dati Leumi or Haredi Dati Leumi. It doesn't belong to those who serve in the IDF, and it doesn't belong to those who learn in yeshivas. It belongs to everyone. It belongs to everyone. Yerushalayim, Kiir Shechubra Lo Yachdov, like Torah, which is a great unifier of the Jewish people. Whether you learn it or you don't learn it, it belongs to you. Torah is yours. Whether you live in Yerushalayim, you don't live in Yerushalayim, you love Yerushalayim, you don't love Yerushalayim, it's yours. It's yours because it belongs to Klal Yisrael. There are very few things in this world that people can't own. And with enough money, with enough influence, you could own almost anything. But not Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Yerushalayim, because of its immense and immeasurable holiness, belongs only to Klal Yisrael. And this is what we celebrate. We celebrate that just a few short years ago, because it is 1967, it's like yesterday in the continuum of the Jewish experience, just a few short years ago, that Ribono Shel Olam gave us something back that belongs to us. The miracles that govern the recapture, reconquering of Yerushalayim, the miracles that govern the reunification of our holy city, we take for granted that you could walk through the cities of here, the streets of Yerushalayim today, and it's yours. It's yours, Chevra. It's not so long ago that this was not the case. And the gift that we celebrate is not just I got something, you got something. Klal Yisrael received something that only Klal Yisrael could possess. Like Torah, which could only be possessed by the Klal, Yerushalayim could only be possessed by the Klal. Just like the Kedusha of Torah is too immense, no individual can lay claim to it, the Kedusha of our holy city is too immense. No one person, no one tribe can lay claim to it. It belongs to the Klal. Just a few short decades ago, the Ribono Shel Olam gave us back the very epicenter of universal holiness. Just a few short decades ago, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us back the source of every last bit of Kiddusha. Everything flows into Eretz Yisrael, and everything from Eretz Yisrael flows through Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the epicenter of everything that is holy in this world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed it to once again be ours. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave back the most precious piece of holiness in this world, and He gave it back to the most precious and holy people on the face of this earth. This is what we celebrate on Yom Yerushalayim. And the merit of Emirat Hashem recognizing and appreciating the great gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to us on this incredible day. May we zoche Emirat Hashem to see more of Yerushalayim rebuilt. May we zoche Emirat Hashem to see more Jews returning into this beautiful city. May we zoche Emirat Hashem to see the ultimate dream and aspiration, the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash. Mehera bi'ameinu. Amen.